2018 to our beloved listeners with this podcast by AA Physical Therapy entitled Collaboration Mindset for Health and Wellness. So hopefully everybody's having a good year to start with, and hopefully it will go ahead and continue all throughout for 2018. Again, we're very thankful to Dragon Digital Radio here at Howard Community College for hosting this podcast. So again, if you have any other questions on what you want to have for our programs for this year, feel free to go ahead and contact us at 443-979-7171. And before we begin with our first guest of the year, we just want to share to our listeners that we will be having occupational therapy and speech therapy services here soon, and provide other wellness programs such as stress management and other health and fitness programs. And we may possibly have a counselor and a nutritionist on board too. So feel free to go ahead and watch out for that. And speaking of watching, feel free to go ahead and watch the video testimonials that we've had been posting online provided by our patients. So now, enough of that. Let's go and move on to what we need to go and discuss today. And again, we're very thankful to our first guest. Her name is Deborah Dunn. She is a physician assistant at Chase Brexton. And would you like to go ahead and share a little bit more about what you do, your background there?
Thank you. I am Deborah Dunn. I'm a family practice PA for Chase Brexton. I also work in the LGBT Resource Center at Chase Brexton. 90% of my patients are transgender, gender non-binary, and LGBTQ. And I have a large number of patients that I prescribe PrEP to. I am one of the co-authors of Gender Joy, which is Gender Journeys of Youth, along with a pediatric endocrinologist, Dr. Elise Pine, and one of our therapists, which is a program that's designed for the management of transgender children, youth, and adolescents, to include the gender non-binary. And since January of 2017, we have 890 transgender children, youth, and adolescents, which has been a very successful program so far. The kids are doing really well. We do primary care for them. We provide behavioral health services for them. We provide the puberty blockers and sex hormones. It's been very successful so far to date. We've seen excellent decreases in depression, anxiety, very happy kids with great qualities of life. And our youngest child is 6, and my oldest patient is in the 70s and 80s. Extremely gratifying. Some of the medical services we offer is the hormone transitioning. We also offer just primary care services.
Maybe I'll try to discuss this pink elephant in the room right away. As you can imagine, this is a rather sensitive topic for some of our listeners out there. But again, the focus of these podcasts is to provide more education and not necessarily to push one agenda over the other. And the fact that we have community members who are here, and that's what we all want to go ahead and share. And I know you were using certain acronyms there, or certain phrases, and that's what we want to go ahead and know more. So when you say LGBT exactly, what does that mean?
The initials stand for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and also there's Q and there's I. There's a lot of people who really are not educated or knowledge on the genderqueer, the non-binary, the gender diverse group, but that's part of that group. The T stands for transgender, and then there's the I, which is the new word for intersex, is disorders of sexual development.
Can you go ahead and identify a little bit more when you say lesbian, being gay? What does that mean?
Well, there's gender identities, there's sexual orientations, and then there's gender expressions. Gender identity is that gender that we identify with. child psychiatrists tell us that we know our gender from age 3. So if we ask a 3-year-old if you're a girl or a boy, they can tell you I'm a girl or a boy. And there's now a very non-binary society. There's a lot of people, a whole group of people who don't identify as male or female. They identify as transgender, transgender female, transgender male, gender queer, agendered, non-binary, gender diverse, gender fluid. There's a lot of genders that people are identifying now, not just the male and female.
And that's what we're trying to go and share to the community. Right. Like we said, it's non-binary. It's not a one or a zero.
Right.
That people, just beginning with the gender identity, is that I'm just identifying it as such, and we're not even yet touching base of sexual orientation, as you've mentioned.
Right. Like a lot of people don't realize that, you know, as we identify our genders, you know, we don't really know why our gender is what it is. Like my identity is female. My gender identity is female. I don't think I know that because my parents told me I was female, or that the doctor when I was born told me I was female, or because of genitals or breasts or anything like that. It's a really deep internal feeling that I have, that even if I didn't have these genitals or these sex organs, I would still deeply identify as female. But it's the same thing as our transgender community. If you ask them what their gender is, they can tell you I'm male or female. Our children, really, I think they get it the most. If you, it's insistent and persistent. I am a girl. I am a girl. Not just I want to be in a girl's clothes, or I want to play with girl toys, or I want to be a girl someday.
Because they think that's gender expression. No,
right, those are gender expressions.
Okay.
And so, you know, the transgender community and the gender non-binary people are constantly having to justify their gender. You know, why would you want to be gender now? It's got transgender. It's got to be hard. You know, how do you know you're transgender? But it's the same as if I were to ask you, how do you know you're a male? How do you know you're female?
And I think what we want to highlight here is that at the end of the day, we're human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not robots
right.
made out of ones and zeros. And that's why what we want to go ahead and share to the community a little bit more is that, again, we're not robots. Mm-hmm. And because we're not programs of ones and zeros, that's why we have this fluid.
There's a large spectrum.
Yes.
To me, that doesn't look like almost girl, almost boy, trying to be a girl, trying to be a boy, but just somewhere in a large circle where everyone fits with different sexual orientations, genders, and gender identities. Mm-hmm. That if anyone is outside of that circle, then they would be stigmatized. So if we all look at people on a continuum, that's a circle, a big umbrella of different expressions, identities, and orientations, then no one group of people will be stigmatized.
Exactly. And as human beings, as you've already identified, we're fluid.
Fluid, right.
And as much as we want to just simplify things, but as we all know it, life is so
right.
Yeah,
we all really are going to have to get used to jumping out of these boxes.
Yes.
Like for sexual orientation, for example.
Go ahead.
You know, there's no longer the gay or straight, or the lesbian, the gay, the bisexual. There's a lot of sexual orientations now. There's that people identify with. Mm-hmm. There's the pansexuals. Those are people who are sexually attracted to, like, all genders, all sexual orientations, all people. There's people who are asexual. And to know what that means, you really have to ask the person what that means. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're not sexual. It could mean that they're involved in romantic relationships that don't involve sex.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's demisexual. There's polyamorous relationships. There's so many different orientations now, which are very different than gender identity. The gender is the person you are, and the sexual orientation is the person you're attracted to.
If you don't mind clarifying non-binary a little bit more.
Right. Yeah, yes. That is one of the most confusing for people. Gender non-binary, and when I say gender non-binary, it includes everyone under that umbrella.
Okay.
There are people who don't identify with male or female, or female one day, maybe male one day. Mm-hmm. In other words, they don't feel that their gender fits in any binary system.
And that's part of the gender identity. Now, in terms of sexual orientation, mm-hmm. what else can you go ahead and share about that then?
Well, I think the kind of like two things I want to really bring out is the importance of, especially in a transgender, gender, non-binary community, that their identities as far as pronouns and proper names, things like that, are very important. A lot of times in our practice, the patients we see, their names on the chart will be their legal names, the names that they were given at birth. But many, it's not the names that they are, that they go by, or the preferred names is what we call it. Mm-hmm. And also, the pronouns may be very different. When I go in a room with a patient, I introduce myself to the person. I'm Deborah Dunn, I'm a PA, I'm here to take care of you. What is your name? And then I ask, is that the name you would like for me to call you or be preferred as? And then I ask your gender. And they may say male, female, transgender, genderqueer. And then I ask your preferred pronoun. So they may say she, he, they, them, z. There's a lot of pronouns now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, that's kind of hard for me to grasp. You know, how do you refer to someone's pronoun as they? And I just can't get used to saying that name. I've known my son's been this name his whole life, and, you know, I just can't wrap my head around. It's really difficult for me now to change, and I'm going to forget. But I'd like to really emphasize the importance of trying to get it right every time. Yes. Trying to get a person's name right and their pronouns is very important. Just like no one else would like to be referred or called by a name that they're not comfortable with, it's the same thing. It even goes deeper than that. I have patients that when you refer to them by their not proper name or their proper pronoun, it's distressing. You know, it can look like you still see a male when you look at me, or you still see a female when you look at me. Mm-hmm. And it can cause or lead to feeling rejected or depressed or increased anxiety. And it's important, especially if you are a medical provider, because, you know, there's not many services or providers who are opening and affirming to LGBTQ people. And so you could, by just calling someone by the wrong name, you will lose them.
So yes, it's possible that they're coming to us with a knee replacement, and if we address them in a mm-hmm. wrong way, emotionally they may not be mm-hmm. there, and that could impact their recovery. Mm-hmm.
Or either they won't come back.
Or they just won't come
because
back.
Because I have patients that, you know, have had bad experience in emergency rooms. You know, this is my name, this is my gender. But then when they get the ID badge, it's a different, you know, the name, the legal name, and different pronouns. And I've had patients that have been severely ill during office visits that would refuse to go to the hospital because of being misgendered or being in x-ray and being inappropriately dressed in gowns and things like that. Yes. So these are patients that just won't seek care. They just won't. They won't come back because they do not want to experience that pain.
Yes.
And we are about trying to make people well and exactly. not distressed.
And when we say people, that's everybody in
everyone,
that spectrum.
Everyone, that should include everyone.
Yes, that's everybody in the
right.
spectrum, yes.
What I recommend people do is just try to learn to avoid using pronouns until you've really gotten to know, especially your new patients, or anywhere. If you're in church, if mm-hmm. you're in a grocery store, wherever, just try to avoid using pronouns. Because non-binary, gender-diverse people and transgender people won't necessarily appear or look normative trans to you mm-hmm. or normative gender non-binary. And so you could really, you know, it could be your coworker that's sitting beside you.
Yes.
It could be the person in the line in front of you. It could be the person that's next to you at church. So I try to teach people to avoid using pronouns. Like, for example, if someone drops something in front of me, I'll be like, excuse me, I think you dropped something on the floor. Or if someone in line says, who is next? Rather than say, well, she was next, I'll say, well, I think you were next.
Yes.
You know, and then I'm telling you, no one minds you asking.
And thank you so much for bringing this to light right now, because now I'm reflecting on how I interact with others. And sometimes I will have a tendency to say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that definitely. So, on first of all, on forms, intake forms, applications, you know, there has to be more than two spaces for gender.
Yes.
It can't just be male and female now. Then, just like with race, it used to be just black and white. Now you see how many lines there are for race. Yep. But there's going to have to be several other lines for gender. And then be really careful about using terms like Mr. and Mrs.
Yes.
Or even with parents, instead of asking about mother and father.
Yes.
Or you know, because, you know, yes. For example, you ask a child, who's your mother, who's your father? They may be uncomfortable saying, I have two fathers.
Precisely.
Or two mothers. And same thing with partners, you know, about asking husband and wife.
Yes.
You know, who, you know, just having lines for partners.
Yes. Now, we would like to know a little bit more. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, you are part of the LGBT Health Resource Center, and I know you're the mm-hmm. director there, yes?
No, I'm one of the, I'm the LGBT, the transgender health coordinator.
Health coordinator,
right,
there
the transgender
you go, thank
health
you.
Coordinator.
Sorry, and then, so on that note, aside possibly from all the other things that we've mm-hmm. already discussed, but what are the other services that you provide with this?
Yes. Right, the LGBT Resource Center is located at Chase Braxton in the Baltimore downtown office, and they're therapists, gender therapists. So you can come in and you can get therapy. We have caseworkers who can help navigate you through the difficult insurance world and also provide resources on homelessness, food, open and affirming places where you could go to get x-rays, surgeries, things like that. Also, we do have educator, and her name is Kate Bishop. She goes out in the community. She's really good at helping people make their offices, places, organizations opening and affirming for LGBTQ. Dr. Pine and myself are educating the medical community. We're speaking at conferences. We're teaching medical professionals because we do know it wasn't taught in any medical curriculum.
Yes.
We do offer services for our seniors, our older LGBTQ. A lot of times our older LGBTQ people live lives that are isolated because of rejection from families. We have support groups. We have support groups for HIV, for intimate partner violence, for transgender people. Chase Braxton, all of the providers actually are very open and affirming of comfortable and competent treating LGBTQ patients.
Now, what are the common misconceptions with the LGBT community or gender identity and gender expression that would you like to clarify specifically?
Some of the things I would like to make clear, though, is that we need more providers. And when I say providers, I mean physical therapy, dentists, behavioral health people, providers, family practitioners. Everyone that feel more comfortable and make it a point to learn more about the health disparities. Because if you don't know that this community of people do have, in fact, the top four health disparities, which are associated mainly because of society discrimination and because of their human rights, and mm-hmm. Then you won't know how to address these issues. And so it's important to try to learn about these health disparities, and that it's important that we start documenting and then we get data about gender non-binary people, transgender people, so that places like the Department of Housing will know how many people are homeless. Department of Aging, you know, need to know like accommodations that they need to make for transgender elderly, for example. The second thing is the bathroom. I know the bathroom is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, we don't want them to come into this bathroom with us. But I really want people to understand that it's way deeper than that. I have high school students who will refuse to go to school because they don't want to try to navigate or negotiate what bathroom to go in. Or because they're being forced to take gym classes where there's not a locker room that they can feel comfortable changing in. I have adults that won't go to restaurants, they won't go on vacations, they won't fly on planes because they don't want to have to stop and try to figure out which bathroom to go to. It's so important that if you have an organization that you have unisex or you have gender-neutral bathrooms. That schools with athletics allowing, for example, our transgender youth to play on teams of their gender. Hospitals not putting patients in rooms that's not their gender. Places of worship, churches, a lot of LGBTQ people feel actually traumatized by places of worship. And just the importance of embracing everyone. And if you're that church that's not comfortable doing same-sex marriages, things like that, to allow your members other options that will help them to feel healthier.
I think that's a key phrase there, is embracing everyone. If you don't mind, for me, one of the main misconceptions is that people think that it's just a matter of choice, like you're choosing from one food to eat to another food to eat, but it's definitely way more.
You know, it is not a choice. You know, like I'll have some of the trans children, their parents will come and say, well, they just 2 months ago decided to be a boy. Well, you know, they didn't just decide to be a boy. It's this, you know, they were born boys internally. But through, you know, going through life, feeling dysphoria and feeling distress and not feeling comfortable with themselves, they eventually get to a point where they realize what's going on. And then I'll hear the parents say things like, well, it's because we divorced. If we hadn't divorced, what I'd like people to know is that there's not any life event, regardless of how serious or severe it is, that will make a person change their gender. I'll hear people say, well, you know, they're hanging around with lesbians now. She thinks she's a lesbian. So, you know, people navigate towards people who look like them. You know, that they're not genderqueer because their friends are genderqueer. Their friends are genderqueer because they look like them. I hear that all the time, you know, that, you know, this is a phase that they're going through. Let's wait till they're 18 because then they're no longer going to be this way.
Yeah, it's like you asking me because, for example, as we're talking about sexual, my sexual orientation is heterosexual. I don't think I had a face of anything else different. It is what it is. But at the same time, just like what you mentioned earlier, we are fluid as human beings. So, yeah, it's possible that it's going to change. But it's not like I'm just going to make a decision right out of nowhere. And that's what we just want to share to everyone, that this is an ongoing thing, and because our societies have placed... I mean, just simple things like, if the baby is born and it's blue for boys and pink for girls, I don't even know how we came up with that simple...
Yeah, it's all of that.
So, and we're starting it there. Yeah, it's just... Anyway.
And then, you know, I just want to advise people against judging people based on their appearances.
Yes.
You know, I was speaking at a conference for psychotherapists, and I asked them to raise their hand if they could look at me and think they know my sexual orientation. And in a group of about 300, everybody raised their hand.
That they know theirs.
Right, just based on looking at my appearance. And so I asked, well, how is that? Because as far as I'm concerned, I've not had a conversation with any of you, not been on a date with any of you. Or have been in any way sexual.
And what are they're what again? They're what type
basing,
of professionals?
Right.
They're
what therapists, type of, yeah.
They're therapists,
right,
and but, they identified.
Right, but I think it's not just therapists. I think it's, you know, everyone. You know, you're sitting beside that coworker thinking that, well, they're acting so gay. But, you know, just you have to be really sensitive about how you speak around people in space, because you never know who's identifying as trans, or because, you know, people aren't going to tell you. You know why? Because of the stigma.
Exactly.
And the discrimination. So I really, really, really want to try to get people away from that.
And that's why we're doing this podcast, in order to shed more light, for more knowledge, for and not just based on assumptions that doesn't have any basis.
Another thing that I think most people don't realize is, you know, the difficulty of getting your gender marker and your, well, it's easy to get your name changed because people who get married get their names changed.
Yes.
But to get the gender marker changed on driver's license, birth certificates, passports, Social Security cards. Because, you know, if you can imagine a person very masculine looking who's transitioned from female to male, with beard, you know, just in every aspect has fully transitioned their lives to male, and still, you know, having Valerie on your driver's license and trying to navigate the airports, things like that, you know, and places where they work, making them wear the girl name on their badges. You can imagine that, you know, people aren't going to go to work if that happens. You know, kids aren't going to go to school if they're forced to be called by that girl name on the roll call. Things like that. The law has made it so difficult. You have to have letters from therapists. You have to have a letter from a medical professional, from physicians, you know, to be able to get these letters to change your gender. Now, insurances are covering surgeries, and they're covering medications, the hormones.
Hormones, yes.
But to imagine that most people who get surgical procedures never are required to have letters from a therapist, you know, it just, these are...
That you have to jump these extra hoops, if you may, yes.
Right. It's really difficult, and it's expensive. And it's really hard for for this group of people to really have to navigate this when they don't feel any different than anyone else does. No one else has to jump through these hoops.
Yes, and because to begin with, they already have to deal with whatever they need to deal with. But now you have to go ahead and still filter all the other aspects of what needs to be done. And all right. Well, I know there's still so much more to go ahead and discuss here, and I obviously a 30-minute podcast is not going to do justice of providing all the necessary information that we need to have. But hopefully for our listeners is that just all we're asking is just to open your mind more. We're not here to go ahead and dictate on what your values or belief system should be. But hopefully these are things that you would go ahead and consider, especially if you're planning to be in the medical health field at least, but for any other type of profession for that matter, that again, just to think of other things beyond the binary things that we have been possibly brought about. And again, we're not doing this program to go ahead and promote one over the other, but again, we're just looking at the phrases of working with everyone, and hopefully that's a good way to end this podcast.
I just want to advise people to become allies and advocates. You know, have little rainbow, you know, it doesn't have to be flags, but it could be like a bear. You know, just to let your clients, your patients, all know that you're opening and affirming. Have tables at pride events. Write letters to your councilmen. Council persons.
Yes. I was about to correct you.
Right.
But that's the thing. We were council so ingrained as such, right. And we're trying to go ahead and be better with such things. So. Okay. All right. Well, so again, thank you for listening in. For our next podcast, we're going to have a nurse to go ahead and talk about sleep, the importance of sleep, sleep disorders and the likes, and how it impacts our overall health. And again, on behalf of AAA Physical Therapy with Dragon Digital Radio, thank you for listening in.